Well, Chandler Church, with the Thanksgiving holiday fast approaching, many among us are making final preparations for the feasts that are about to take place with our families. Many of us are organizing our shopping lists. We are sending out invitations. We are cleaning up around the house. But in all of the things we've enacted to do to prepare for the feast that is about to take place, I believe there are very few among us who have considered going out to get a robe. When you prepare for a feast, having the right robe is not necessarily always the first in our list of priorities. However, the Bible tells us today that the most important feast in the history of creation is taking place at this moment right now. And as that feast is taking place at this moment right now, Scripture tells us today, through the inspired word of the Holy Spirit, that the most important thing you and I can do for the feast that is taking place at this moment is to wear the right clothes. Can you say amen today? Today we're going to discover this truth in object lesson as presented by Jesus Christ in the parable of the wedding garment as found in Matthew chapter 22. I invite all of you to take your holy Bibles that are in your possession today, be they paper or electronic, open them up to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 22. And in Matthew chapter 22, we're going to discover Jesus' teaching about the parable of the wedding feast. And in this parable, in this teaching of Jesus Christ, we're going to discover the title of our message today, that we need a robe. Matthew chapter 22, beginning in verse 1, I'll be reading from the New King James Version today. And if you're there with me at this juncture, please say amen. In our Bibles, Matthew chapter 22 and verse 1, if your Bible is like my Bible, these words, the majority of them are in red, meaning these are the words and the teachings of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 1, Jesus is speaking and teaching his church at this time. Matthew 22 verse 1, the Bible says, "And Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables and said, 'The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son. And he sent out his servants to call all those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come.'" Pause for a moment. This is Old Testament Israel, the patriarchs and the prophets preaching to them. Hit play. Verse 4. "Again he sent out other servants, saying, 'Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready, please come to the wedding.'" Pause. This is the New Testament disciples preaching to Israel in the New Testament about the coming of the Messiah in the presence of Jesus Christ. Hit play. Verse 5, "But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his business, and the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious. And he sent out his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city." Pause. This is the persecution of the early church, and this is the siege of Jerusalem by the Roman armies in AD 70. Hit play. Jesus goes on. "Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding.'" Hit pause again. This is the gospel going to the Gentiles. Now, this is all of us in this current time in Earth's history. Hit play. The Bible goes on as Jesus teaches us, and he says, "So those servants went out into the highways and the byways, and they gathered together all whom they had found." What does it say? Both bad and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. Filled with bad and good at the wedding. Verse 11, "But when the king came in to see the guests," pause, "he did not distinguish by bad and good." When the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to them, "Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. So the king said to the servants, "Bind him hand and foot, take him away and cast him into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are what? Chosen." Can you say amen to the words of Jesus here today? Some of you may be familiar with that current, modern slang phrase that says, "Don't be that guy." Can you say amen? And here, in the parable of the wedding feast, Jesus is telling us about a sacred festival that is taking place right now in this earth's history. And unfortunately, there is that guy that shows up and is out of line. All of these other kids are doing the right thing, but one of these guys is doing his own thing, setting himself apart from the group. And friends of mine, none of us wants to be that guy that gets made an example of. Can you say amen today? But for the sake of your salvation and mine, Jesus calls out that guy. He warns and admonishes his church not to be that guy. And so that we might not be that guy, Auntie Ellen helps us understand who this guy without the garment is in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 1. She says this to us as she gives inspired counsel and commentary to the parable. This is from her book entitled Christ Object Lessons, page 315. Auntie Ellen says to us, "The man who came to the wedding feast without a wedding garment represents the condition of many in our world today. They profess to be Christians and lay claim to the gospel, yet they do not realize their what, everyone, their need of Jesus Christ, nor do they what? Exercise faith in him." She goes on to say this, and this is important. Now watch. She says they do not realize, correction, they have not overcome their heredity. They have not overcome their cultivated tendencies to wrongdoing. And this is not the crux of the guy who has not the robe. It is this, she says. They have not overcome their heredity. They have not overcome their cultivated tendencies to wrongdoing. Yet, they think they are what? Good enough in themselves. Help me, Jesus. And they rest upon their own merits instead of trusting in Jesus Christ. Can you say amen today? I believe this today, church. I believe this as a Seventh-day Adventist world church. Sometimes some of us get our identity confused with our mission. I'll say it again. Sometimes as a church, we get our identity confused with our mission. And this is what Auntie Ellen is expressing about the individual who is not wearing a robe. For as she continues, she says this, "Many who call themselves Christian are mere what? Human moralists." You know what that is? A human moralist is someone who goes around pointing out other people's faults and wrongs. They say, "I'm right, you're wrong. I'm right, you're wrong, you're wrong, I'm right, you're wrong, I'm right. So Auntie Ellen, not Shane, says that this guy without the robe is like many in the church here today who are mere human moralists. They have refused the gift which, what's that word? Help me out now. Which alone could enable them to honor Jesus Christ by representing him to the world. So note today that some of us, as Seventh-day Adventist Christians, get our identity confused with our mission, and consequently, it distorts our theology. You see, some of us believe here today, we truly do, we believe that Seventh-day Adventism is our identity. And I would respectfully submit to you, beloved, that it is not. Our identity is Christian. I'll say it again. I believe with all of my heart that our identity is Christian. The Seventh-day Advent message is our mission. Can you say amen? And as Seventh-day Adventists, correction, as Christian Seventh-day Adventists, can you say amen? As Christian Seventh-day Adventists, with a distinctive message to the world, I believe this, as Jesus speaks to us today, we have got to get the gospel right. Are you with me? And so that we can rightly understand the gospel, Seventh-day Adventist matriarch and prophet Ellen White elucidates the meaning behind this parable. She teaches us this in Christ's Object Lessons, page 312. Auntie Ellen says this to us as a church. She says, the guests at the wedding feast were inspected by the king. Who is the king, everyone? That is King Jesus. That is the judgment that is taking place right now. The guests at the wedding feast were inspected by the king, and only those who were accepted, only those were accepted who had obeyed his requirements. And what does God require of us to do? What does he want? To what? Help me, everyone. Everyone say, Father, I need a robe. Everyone say, Jesus, I need a robe. Everyone say, Holy Spirit, I need a robe. So according to Auntie Ellen, only those who were accepted who had obeyed God's number one requirement, and it is this, put on the robe. So Auntie Ellen says this to us as a church, so it is with the guests at the gospel feast. She goes on to say, all must pass the scrutiny of the great king, and only those who are received who have put on the what, everyone? The robe of Jesus Christ's righteousness. Now, this is a challenge for us as a Seventh-day Adventist church, a problematic theological juxtaposition that we arrive at that haunts and plagues us, because as our theologians look at this robe of Christ's righteousness, we wonder what exactly it is and what it means. The last time we were together, we studied about M.L. Andreessen's last generation theology and the current theological forks in the road that have plagued our churches since the 30s, 40s, and 50s. Elder Andreessen, God rest his soul, and those who espouse his theology would purport that the robe of Christ's righteousness that is presented here in this parable and the writings of Ellen G. White is a righteousness that is equal to that of Jesus's. A righteousness that is sinless and perfect. And they do so off statements in the Bible and statements such as these from Aunt Ellen in Steps to Christ, page 62. In Steps to Christ, page 62, Aunt Ellen says this to us as a church. She says the condition of eternal life is now, this moment, just what it has always been, just what it was in paradise before the fall of our first parents. And what is the condition, beloved, of eternal life? Say it with me. It is perfect obedience to the law of God, perfect righteousness. Elder Andreessen, God rest his soul and bless him because we do love him, would look at that text and say, Shane, there it is. The condition for eternal life is perfect obedience to the law of God, perfect righteousness. And if you cannot attain that, achieve that, receive that before Jesus Christ comes, you cannot make it into the kingdom. This is last generation theology. This is the fork in the road in our church at this moment. This is one of the two gospels that is being preached and taught, and I would submit to you, beloved, as we realize that we are Christian Seventh-day Adventists, we have got to get the gospel right. Can you say amen today? But as we hope to get the gospel right, I would submit to you today that we need to learn how to rightly study the scriptures and the writings of Ellen G. White. Can you say amen? And when we take a writing of Ellen G. White and lift it up out of its larger context, or we take a verse of scripture in the Bible and lift it up out of its full context, this is what is called proof texting. That we build a doctrine based upon one text and we say, look, there is the proof. But what is the whole message? The whole message here of Auntie Ellen as she is building a case like a lawyer is the first step of making you understand that you need a robe. Everyone say, I need a robe. The first step in her making you understand that you need a robe is making you understand that you have to be perfect to get into heaven. Let me ask you today, I'm going to put you on blast, how many of us are living perfect lives right now? How many are doing that? Let me see a hand. Any hand? Can I get a hand? Get a hand over here in the back, any perfect lives, right? We don't have one here today. Thank you for your honesty. Amen. And as we are honest today, Auntie Ellen is expressing that once you know you are not perfect, once you know you fall short, you must look to another source outside of yourself for that perfect righteousness. Can you say amen? Now, as she says, the condition of eternal life is now what it has always been, just what it was in paradise before the fall of our first parents. Let's investigate where she's going as she builds this case and look to the fall of our first parents in Eden. For those of you who know your Bibles, you know that as our first parents, Adam and Eve, fell, as they listened to the serpent and not the words of God, they were losing not only their life, but losing the illustrious, glorious cover that they had which clothed their nakedness. So the Bible tells us when they discovered and realized that they were naked, they made for themselves what? Who knows? Who knows out there, Bible scholars? Fig leaves. They made for themselves something to wear. But the Bible says that when Adam and Eve made for themselves fig leaves that clothed their nakedness, that God said, what you're wearing is not good enough. And the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 3, verse 21, that Jesus himself, who got down into the dust of the ground and with his own hands formed Adam, now in Genesis chapter 3, verse 21, he comes back into the garden, and the Bible says that Jesus himself clothes Adam and Eve. Amen. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 21, also for Adam and his wife, the Lord, that's Jesus, made tunics of skin, and what did Jesus do? Jesus came in. He said, Adam, Eve, the leaves you've made, they're not good enough. I've got to dress you up, and I've got to clothe you. Can you say amen today? So the Bible tells us, beloved, that Adam and Eve, our first parents, God himself gives to them a covering. God himself gives to them a robe. Everyone say, Father, I need a robe. And this robe, this covering, is symbolic, emblematic, figurative, and representative of the wedding garment in the parable, and more importantly, beloved, the righteousness of Christ, which is by faith. Can you say amen today? And so that we can be clear, Auntie Ellen wants us to understand these coverings and that righteousness and how it works. Listen to what she says to us as a church in Selected Messages, Book 1, page 367. Ellen White says this, The only way. Is that singular or plural? Help me out, church. Singular. She says the only way in which the sinner can attain to righteousness is by what? By faith. And she goes on to tell us how righteousness by faith works. She says, by faith, the sinner can bring to God, what can you bring, beloved? What's the only thing you can bring? The merits of Jesus. That's not what you do or have done, but what Jesus has done on your behalf. And the Lord places what? Check this out. The obedience of His Son to the sinner's what? I wish the Lord Jesus could do that with credit cards. Boy, I'd be all good. Can you say amen? But more important than our credit cards is making it into the kingdom. Amen? And this is the plan of salvation. This is good news. Can you say amen? It's not about what you can do or have done. It's about what Jesus Christ has done for you. Hallelujah. And Ellen goes on. And she says, Christ's righteousness is accepted in place of man's failure. And God receives. What does He do? He receives. God does what? He pardons. God does what? He justifies. God does what? He justifies the repentant, believing soul and treats him as though he were righteous. Let me pause for a minute. Because not one of us is living perfectly right now. Not one. But God looks at every one of us who in faith trust to Jesus Christ for our salvation. And God says, I see you as righteous no matter how the world sees you. Can you say amen today? And not only does God justify and say, I see you as righteous, but the Bible says that you in your sins, you in your struggle, you with your pornography, you with your alcoholism, you who are struggling with drugs, you who are in a difficult marriage, you who have a bad temper, you who are a liar and a backbiter, God says, I love you so much. And here's how much I love you. As much as my son Jesus. And Auntie Ellen says, so we don't get it twisted, this is how faith is accounted as righteousness. Can you say amen? But someone says, Pastor Shane, hold on now. I've read the Bible. I've read Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27. In Ephesians, Paul tells us that Jesus died, that Jesus forgave us so that he could present the church to himself in splendor. A church, Pastor Shane, without spot or wrinkle or anything like that. A church that is holy and blameless. My dear friend, Elder Andreessen, God rest his soul, would proof text and lift that up out of the larger passage of the case that Paul is building and say, there it is, sinless perfectionism, and we have to attain it in order for Jesus to love us, favor us, come again, and receive us into the kingdom. But as Auntie Ellen does commentary, as Auntie Ellen does exposition, as Auntie Ellen explains this verse in the scope of Paul's argument, this is what she says about what it means to be without spot, without wrinkle, holy and blameless. She said this in the Review and Herald, September 3, 1901. She says, righteousness without blemish, that is, the righteousness that Paul is talking about in Ephesians, righteousness without blemish can be obtained only, help me out, is that singular or plural? Singular only, no other way. Righteousness without blemish, as Paul is presenting in Ephesians chapter 5, can be obtained only through the, what's that word? Imputed righteousness of Christ. So let's pause for a moment. And we have to find out what the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ is. So, beloved, I go to dictionary.com, and you can go to Merriam-Webster or any dictionary that you know of, and I found the definition of imputed. And imputed means this. It means to attribute or ascribe, such as a child would impute magical powers to an old woman who does tricks. Or to attribute or ascribe something either desirable or undesirable to a person. It means to ascribe to or charge a person with an act or a quality because of the conduct of another over whom one has control or for whose act or conduct is responsible. It is also used in theology, meaning to attribute to a person or persons vicariously as to be ascribed or derived from something else. So what does impute mean? Impute means that someone ascribes a value to something. We see imputation each and every day, each and every day in our wallets. What do you mean, Pastor Shane? So every day when you open your wallets, I said your wallet, not mine because I'm a pastor's salary, but when you open your wallets, beloved, every day you see dollars in them. Amen? And when you open those wallets, you see that those dollars have a monetary value, do you not? Some of the values are like ones, some are like tens, some are like twenties, some, we never see these in the offering plate, these are hundreds, we don't know what those are, but some are like hundreds, right? Now when you look at these pieces of paper, you know that there is no difference in this piece of paper from this piece of paper to the regular piece of paper that you use in your printer, right? That's why our economy could crash, right? Because we don't know what money is, right? We've got all that gold in Fort Knox. The Bible tells us gold is the concrete in heaven. Amen? This is why the economy may crash. Because we have ascribed or imputed to paper a value. Can you say amen? This is imputation. Something that is greater than the object ascribes to the object value that the object does not inherently possess. Are you with me today? If you are, say amen. Auntie Ellen tells us the only way that we can have spot or wrinkle without blemish, as Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, is if Jesus imputes to us his righteousness. Can you say amen? The other theological term that we see in the Bible that maybe confuses some of us is that Auntie Ellen quite often talks about the imparted righteousness of God. Now, impart means this, as we see in dictionary.com. When you impart something, you make it known. When you impart something, you tell something to someone. When you impart something, you bestow or give something that is of a communicatory nature. When you impart something, you grant a small part or a share of, so you tell someone something. So for example, if we were to use impart in a sentence, we would say, in vain you have acquired knowledge if you have not, what's that word? Imparted it to others. We impart knowledge, wisdom, information to one another. That's what Hippocrates said. Hippocrates says those things which are sacred, referring to knowledge, are to be imparted only to sacred persons, and it is not lawful to import them to the profane until they have been initiated in the mysteries of science. He's talking about knowledge and wisdom, sharing what is good in life. Again, Hermann Hesse said it this way, wisdom cannot be imparted. Wisdom that a wise man attempts to impart always sounds like foolishness to someone else. Knowledge can be communicated, but not wisdom. One can find it, live it, do wonders through it, but one cannot communicate and teach it. Hence we see again, church, that when we talk about impartation and the imparted righteousness, that is what God tells us to do. Can you say amen? So, when we talk about imparted righteousness, that's what we find in the Holy Bible. That is what we find in the spirit of prophecy. What God has imparted to us so that we might know right from wrong and do it that we might find a blessing here in this world. Can you say amen? Imparted righteousness is important to us because it helps us to live the best life right now. It saves us from jail. It saves us from broken marriages. It saves us from dysfunctional children. It saves us from hurt and heartache that can be avoided if we listen and obey. Can you say amen? So imparted righteousness is important to us. But Auntie Ellen says this, righteousness without blemish can be obtained only through the what? This is the only way we get into the kingdom. Can you say amen? that we look to Jesus, that we say, Jesus, I am a sinner. Jesus, I am broken. Jesus, I am frail. Jesus, I transgress regularly. And Jesus, I need you to save me. Jesus, please give me a robe. Say it with me today, church. Jesus, please give me a robe. Can you say amen today? God wants to get all of us into the kingdom, beloved, and I believe for us to get into the kingdom, we have got to get the gospel right. God has called us to be a remnant church. God has called us to have a mission to this world, but Christian is our identity. The reforms of Adventism is our mission. Can you say amen? And in order for our mission to go forward, we have to get our identity correct. And we have to understand as we teach people and preach to people that all of the things that we give them, the standards that God has conveyed, we don't lower those. But we allow people to grow in them because we are covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Amen? This is the gospel. That Jesus died on the cross for all of the bad things that we've done and for all of the bad things that we've done, our guilty sins went to Jesus and Jesus' perfect life, it is imputed. What word did I say? Imputed to us, and God sees us as right with Him right now. Can you say hallelujah? Is that reason to be happy in church? Is that reason to be excited in church? Is it sanctioned to maybe clap in church? Maybe even do a gospel dance in church? That is good news. Can you say amen today? And Auntie Ellen wants us to get us right. She wants us to get it understood. She wants us to get it ingrained in our hearts and our lives so that when we come in contact with our communities and our neighbors, we can share it the right way. She says this, the provision for our salvation made is what? What's that word? It is complete. And the eternal righteousness of Christ is placed to the what? The account of every believing soul. The costly, spotless robe woven on the loom of heaven has been what? Provided free of cost for every repenting believing sinner. In ourselves, we are sinners, but in Christ, we are what? You better get out of yourself and get over yourself, amen? And you better get yourself in Jesus, church. Can you say amen? Make Jesus first, make Jesus last, make Jesus best in everything. Jesus Christ is our righteous. Jesus Christ is our perfection. Can you say amen? She says, having made us righteous through the what? She says it again. She distinguishes. She doesn't say imputed and imparted. She distinguishes only through the imputed righteousness of Christ. We are right. God pronounces us what? And treats us as just and looks upon all of us, even with our sins, as His what? I praise God for a father like that. For all of us who have grown up without fathers, without mothers, without parents, without a stable family, you have a Father in heaven who absolutely adores you. With everything you're doing wrong right now, when you go home today, because you hold on to Jesus in faith, God looks on you in love and He loves you just like you are. This is the good news of our gospel. This is why Auntie Ellen tells us this. She says, apart from Jesus Christ, we have how much merit? No merit, no righteousness. Our sinfulness, our weakness, our human imperfection make it possible. Is that able or not able? Not able that we should appear before God unless we are what? Clothed in Christ's spotless righteousness. Everyone say, Jesus, I need a robe. Can you say amen today? Ah, but Pastor Shane, Jude told us, Pastor Shane, in Jude chapter 1, verse 24, He told us that Jesus is able to keep us from stumbling and to present us before His glorious presence without fault and with great joy. So Elder Andreessen, God rest his soul, we love him. He would use that verse and he would say, there it is, Shane. I appreciate what you're saying to your congregation today, but if you believe in Jesus, Jesus will keep you from stumbling and doing anything wrong. You can live in sinless perfection if you believe. What does Ellen White say about this verse? As she does expedition, clarification, as she does commentary on Jude 24, she tells us, beloved, what it means to appear in God's presence without stumbling. She says this in Christ's Object Lessons, page 311. Read it with me. She says, only the covering which Christ Himself has provided can make us meet to appear in God's presence. This covering, the robe of His own righteousness, Christ will put on every repenting, believing soul. Can you say amen today? See, when Christ presents us as spotless and blameless, what Jesus Christ does is Jesus Christ takes Devante before the throne of God, and He brings Devante as he is. As Jesus presents Devante before His Father, Devante, like Shane, probably may have a few spots or wrinkles, but Jesus says, I'm going to present him faultless before the Father. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to cover him with my robe. Can you say amen? Amen? And when Jesus covers us in his robe, the Father looks on us. And as the devil says, well, he does this wrong and this wrong and this wrong and this wrong and this wrong. God says, all I see is my son. This is why, beloved, the devil hates you so much. This is why the devil is so angry with you. Because you have a gift that he can't have. Because all of the sin, all of the hurt, all of the heartache that he has caused, he will not get a pass for. He cannot make it into the kingdom. But friends, you are going to make it because of what Jesus Christ has done. This is what we see in the Bible. The Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6 that we are all like an unclean thing. And all of our righteousness is like filthy rags. We fade like a leaf and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Friends, Revelation tells us that angels are holding back the four winds of judgment that are about to come on the earth. How is a leaf going to do when those winds are released, huh? You better get a robe. Everybody say it with me. Jesus, I need a robe. And this is the garments that is referred to in Revelation. You see, in Revelation chapter 19, verse 8, the Bible says it was given to the church to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Well, wait a second, Pastor Shane. It says there that the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. What are the acts that you can do? Auntie Ellen told us that Jesus Christ will put his robe on every repenting and believing sinner. Can you say amen? Amen? That is your righteous act. It's not your tithe. It's not your Sabbath keeping. It's not your marriage that's lasted for 30 years. It's not your kind words or kind deeds. Your righteous act, the only right thing you can do, is to confess, Lord, I'm a sinner. Please save me. This is the robe of Christ's righteousness. This is the fine acts and righteous acts of the saint. This is overcoming sin. It is not, I'm going to try harder. I'm going to tell everybody what Ellen White said. That's not it. This is overcoming in Revelation chapter 12. They tell us what it is. They overcame by the who? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of their what? Their testimony. Lord God, I'm a sinner. Please save me. Jesus, I believe in you. Can you say amen? Amen. This is how we overcome sin. This is how we defeat the devil. Because the devil wants us to try and work our way into heaven because he can't. We have the best message in town. If we share it the right way. Can you say amen today? Say it with me. Jesus, I need a robe. This is what Auntie Ellen says. She says Christ was treated as we deserve, that we might be treated as He deserves. That's right now. You with your sins, right now, God loves you, adores you, and He blesses you. And the devil hates it. But you are treated as Jesus Christ deserves, because Jesus Christ was condemned for our sins in which we had no share, that we might be justified by His righteousness, in which how much share do we have? None. Nothing. You can't contribute to what happened at the cross. Nothing you can do can help that. Can't help it, promote it, insure it. You have no share in Christ's righteousness. He suffered the death which was ours that we might receive the life that was His. And for that reason, Revelation 12 verse 10 says, I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, salvation and strength, the kingdom of God and the power of His Christ has come for the what? The accuser of our brethren, who accused them how often? Day and night before God, has been cast down. Don't do the devil's work. Amen? You can tell a demonic spirit in the church by a person who is always accusing other people for their guilt and their sins. The Bible tells us, beloved, if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart. Can you say amen today? Don't let people accuse you. And when they do, tell them you're right. I am all that you said. And the only righteousness, the only perfection I have is Christ Jesus, my Savior and my Lord. Day and night, as the judgment is going on right now, the adversary is saying, Grace is not worthy, Jeff is not worthy, Haley's not worthy, Jose is not worthy, Clyde's not worthy, Kyla's not worthy. And the truth of the matter is, we are not worthy. But Jesus is. And Jesus says something that transcends the value of what we are. Even if we have gone through a lot of hurt and heartache, even if we have been used and abused by the world, even if we have participated in all sorts of things we shouldn't have. And friends of mine, if the world says we're dirty, rotten, used up, if we're filthy and have no value, if you take a $100 bill and ball it up, how much is it still worth, beloved? $100. Jesus says, my people, my children, my dearly beloved, my precious, no matter what you say they're worth, I have assigned and attributed to them a value because of what I have done at the cross and my perfect righteousness. It stands in their place and covers them before the Father. Can you say amen today? Say it with me today, church. Holy Spirit, I need a robe. God is in the business of getting people into the kingdom, not keeping them out. Can you say amen? Amen? And because God is in the business of getting people into the church and not keeping them out, that is why our churches should be a safe place for sinners. Amen? Amen. A church should be a place where men can come together and talk about struggles with pornography. Amen? Church is a place where people can come together and talk about substance abuse. Can you say amen? Amen? A church is a place where our children can come and be loved and not harmed. Can you say amen? Amen? A church is a safe place because we are all sinners who are all saved and making it only the same way, and that is by the blood of Jesus. If you're with me, please say amen today. This is what Ellen White says to us. She says, by His spotless life, that's Jesus. By His obedience, that's Jesus. By His death on the cross of Calvary, that's Jesus. Christ interceded for our race. And now, not mere as a mere petitioner, not just sitting there before God, God please, God please, God please, I died for them, God please, does the captain of our salvation intercede for us, but as a what? Claiming His what? My victory is in Jesus right now today. Amen. My Jesus, my victory in Jesus was that moment when I got into that water and I said, Lord, I give my life to You. And Jesus says to all of us today, I claim it right now. I submit to you, Chandler Church. We need to start claiming it as a congregation. Can you say amen? victory we have in Jesus. Say it with me. Father, I need a robe. Ellen White goes on to say in Christ's Object Lessons, page 156, Jesus' offering is complete. And as our intercessor, he executes his self-appointed work, holding before God the censer containing his own spotless merits and the prayers, the confessions, the thanksgiving of his people, perfumed with the fragrance of his righteousness. These ascend to God as a sweet savor, and this offering is what? It is acceptable, and the pardon covers how much of your sins? All transgression. Can you say amen? All of your sins covered, all of your sins bleached white as snow, all of your sins hid in the robe of Christ's righteousness, if you have a robe. Because the king in the wedding feast, for those who brought their own garments, he said, you better get out of here with that stuff. Friends of mine, we better be careful of the garments that we're crafting for people we come in contact with. We better be careful for the garments that we're giving to our children as we reveal to them the character of God. Can you say amen? Because if it's anything else than God is love, we might as well put millstones around our necks. Amen? God doesn't get mad at kids when they run in the sanctuary. God's worried about their safety. He might bump their head off the thing, right? But that doesn't offend Jesus. That's not the Jesus I know. Jesus isn't concerned about carpets or buildings or pews. Jesus is concerned about people. And the currency of heaven is people. People are valuable to Jesus. Can you say amen today? So valuable, so precious, that Jesus himself laid down his very own life. This is what Jesus says. Ellen White says this in Desire of Ages, page 357. That you know that verse when Jesus says, if men deny me before other men, I will deny them before the Father. But if you confess me, I'll confess you before the Father. This is what Auntie Ellen says. She quotes him directly that Jesus says when Jesus confesses us before the Father. Listen, this is Auntie Ellen quoting Jesus. Jesus says to you and me when we ascribe faith in him, Jesus says, I will be your representative in heaven. The Father beholds not your faulty character, but he sees you as clothed in my what? Perfection. Friends of mine, if we are to be perfect before Jesus comes, if our character is to be perfect before Jesus comes, the way that we are perfect is by faith in Christ. Can you say amen? The way that we step out of that perfection is to focus on our own works, our own efforts, and our own transgressions. For those of you who know the story in Scripture, when Jesus called Peter to get out of the boat and walk on the water, the moment Peter started focusing on his proprioception and his balance and his agility and how good he was, he sank like a rock. But when he had his eyes on Christ, that whole time he was living a miracle. And friends of mine, your salvation is a miracle. It's not something you can work out and earn. Amen? And if we're going to share people with people the gift of salvation, we've got to get it right. Amen? And Jesus says to all of us who are confessing him right now, he sees our faults. The saints have faults. You know that, right? Pastor Shane has faults. You know that, right? So when people want to put pastor on blast, most of it's not true. But if it is true, it's true. I have faults. But more important than that, I have a Redeemer and I know my Redeemer lives. Be honest with the gospel. Tell the truth, amen? Tell the truth. We don't have to scare people into church. We don't have to coerce them here with fear to keep them as a part of our congregation. Because we can bring them with fear, but if they don't have faith, they're not going to make it anyway. Jesus says, I see your faulty character. The Father does not behold it, but he sees you as clothed in my perfection. Can you say amen today? Friends of mine, Ellen White tells us that we don't have to be discouraged. And sometimes we say, well, Pastor Shane, come on now. We've been called to preach and teach the law to people and uplift the law. And yes, we have. And when we say, beloved, that we are saved by grace through faith alone, that is not the same as antinomianism. Antinomianism is doing away with the law. It's a theological term. Because we fall short of the law does not mean we do away with it. Amen? We keep practicing it. Amen? That's why they call modern medicine, and for those of you who are doctors, they call it a... For those who practice law in the court system, they call it a... Because it's not an exact science. Doctors don't get it right. Counselors don't get it right. The courts don't always get it right. We're practicing law. But the only one who ever perfectly kept it imputes his righteousness to us. And then he says, I want you to keep practicing. Can you say amen? That's different. That's different from we're not going to keep Sabbath, we're going to keep Sunday. You follow me? That's antinomianism. But for those of us who acknowledge what the truth is and are trying to keep the truth, Ellen White says that we don't have to be discouraged. Jesus came to our world to bring divine power to man. Through his grace, we are steadily transformed in his likeness. And when it is in your heart to obey God, when you put forth efforts to this end, Jesus does what? He accepts this disposition and effort as what? That's the best you can do. That's the best you can do. But be honest with Jesus, amen? Don't fake it, amen? Because God sees the thoughts and the intents of your heart, amen? Don't leave from here today and say, Pastor said I can go to Chili's on Sabbath. He said, I didn't do that, amen? That's not what I did. Pastor said we could eat pork today. Jesus loved. I didn't do that, amen? Do the best you can and be faithful and honest with yourself and God, amen? When it is in the heart to obey God, when you put effort forth, Jesus accepts it as your best service and he makes up for the deficiency with his own divine imputed righteousness. Can you say amen today? Wait a second, Pastor Shane. The Bible says that he might present himself, Jesus died that he might present himself to the church in all her glory, having no spot, no wrinkle, any such thing, that she would be holy and blameless. But Ellen White says this as she does exposition and commentary on Ephesians chapter 5, as she explains what Paul is saying there, what it means not to have glorious or any spot, wrinkle, or such thing. She says this, let's read it together. Great Controversy 484. Read it together. Christ will clothe his faithful ones with what? His own righteousness, that he might present them to his Father, a what? A glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Say it with me. Jesus, I need a robe. Friends of mine, the judgment is taking place right now. Right now, before Christ comes again. And that judgment is not good works versus bad works. That judgment is your character. And the character is, have you repented and have you believed in Jesus? Can you say amen today? And if you have repented and if you have believed in Jesus, Jesus says he's going to take a robe and he's going to cover you with it. Can you say amen? So friends of mine, I submit to us today, Chandler Church, as we're making preparations for the Thanksgiving holiday next week, each and every day in our devotions, each and every day in our spiritual walk, each and every day in our marriages, each and every day in our ministry as disciples, Christians, and followers of Jesus, make the most important preparation before Christ comes again and say to Christ with me now today, Father, I need a robe.